Hello friends, welcome back to yet another episode of What Page Are You On? It's me, Bethany Rutter, and I'm here with my good friend and business partner.
It's me, Alice Slater.
We've been away a while, you know, I'm going to be the first to admit that. We've been away, we've been doing stuff, we've been living our lives, but
we're back. Shit's been happening.
Yeah. Nothing in particular, just life.
I moved house.
You moved house.
That was a big deal for me.
Yeah, but you know, like when you say like shit's been happening, that kind of implies some kind of escándalo.
Oh yeah, there's been no scandal.
No.
No just, YouTube apology.
No.
No app apology.
Just moving house, going on holiday, living life. But we're back. You know, I don't know on what basis, don't know if we're going to be weekly.
Because summer's
difficult, man, isn't it?
We just have a casual fucking podcast these days, right? Yeah. Just a casual podcast, easy breezy.
We're living our lives.
Yeah, we parted ways with our advertisers.
Yep. Not that we've ever had an advertiser, may I add. Which is good because, you know, do you listen to a lot of pods?
No, not really, to be honest.
So there is this one company called Daily Harvest that advertise on pods quite a lot. You know, like the mattress brands and the Squarespace. Like, there's this one called Daily Harvest. They are mid-escandalo at the moment because they've had, like, people being hospitalised after eating some of their foods.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, podcasters have been pushing that.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
Not here.
We have not associated ourselves with a... gallbladder infecting
That doesn't sound nice.
It does not.
Jesus, what?
So, we're here. We're queer.
Have you been reading?
I have been reading, but I feel like I'm mid-reading for an event I'm doing on Monday. So if you're listening to this on the day that it goes out, which is Friday, and you want to come and join us at the event on Monday, I would strongly recommend it. So it is an event that I'm hosting to celebrate the launch of Briefly A Delicious Life by Nell Stevens. It's at Foyles on Charing Cross Road, and it is me talking to Nell, but also talking to Julia Armfield, friend of the pod. Not that we've ever had her on, but spiritually I feel like she's a friend of the pod.
I mean, she is an actual friend, yeah. So...
literally a friend of the
not
pod.
Not that Nell isn't a friend through the internet, but...
yeah. So it's also to talk about Julia's book, Our Wives Under the Sea, which I know is a fave of yours and I'm loving. So yeah, that's at Foyles Charing Cross Road, Monday 27th. So please do join us there if you are free on Monday night. Alice, what have you been reading?
I just finished. Such a banger. I think this could end up being like one of my top of the year. So the book is called The Night Always Comes by Willie Vlautin.
Oh yeah, I read that.
I read that
last year.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Did we talk about it?
Maybe, yeah.
I literally, if I could be bothered to bend down, I would take my Converse off and like slap your little leg with it. I can't believe that I've only just read it.
Yeah, I bought it when I went to, you know, Storytellers Inn.
Yeah, that's the book you bought from there.
That's the book I bought from lovely Katie, whose bookshop is Leven St. Anne's. Yeah, because she had it and I was like... Katie, tell me what book I should buy. I'm in your bookshop. I want to buy a book because I want to give you some money because we love independent bookshops. And, you know, she was suggesting various books and I was like, look, I've either got them or I could borrow them off Alice. I want something that I would never have encountered had I not been in this bookshop right now. And she was like, well, I've got this that I want to read, but the cover is slightly damaged, so I can't really sell it. So I was just going to keep it. And I was like, I'll buy it. I'll buy this damaged cover book. And that was what I bought. It was The Night Always Comes by Willie Vlautin.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I ended up picking it up for similar circumstances. Well, not really. I was in a Waterstone, so not similar at all. But I felt like buying a book. I hadn't bought one in a while. And I saw it on... like their buy one get one half price table, and I was like, ooh,
it's got a chic cover.
Yeah, I don't. Did you have the paperback?
I have the paperback.
Yeah. So the cover is like a woman looking out of a window at like a city, and it's nighttime, and it's very, you know, chill. Fuck me. Oh my god, a paw just appeared. A tiny cat paw just appeared in the doorframe.
Hello, baby. Maybe he'll come in. Maybe he won't. Okay, continue.
So we may have discussed this on the pod before, but I will nutshell it anyway. It is set over a 48-hour period. It's about a young woman who works 3 jobs. She takes care of her disabled brother. She's also attending night school. And she's been doing this for several years, trying to scrape together enough money to buy the very decrepit family home. And then right at the last minute, her mom's like, actually, I've changed my mind.
I don't want to buy the house.
I've got a fucking car instead.
Yeah.
So she basically, the book follows the main character, Lynette, as she, like, visits various, like, characters from her past and shady people to try, who she's calling favours on, to try and scrape together the deficit to see if she can still make it work.
Because there is a deadline to buy the house. There is a deadline, and yeah. That is looming. So they either have to buy the house by this date, or they cannot buy the house. They will all get evicted. They don't really have the money to move anywhere else.
So what I loved about it is that, like, it really... I don't know, like... So it has the pace of a thriller. There are so many moments that are so juicy, so frightening. You become so invested in this woman. And not so much her plight, because I felt in my gut all along that this house was a bad idea. You know, like, not because the mother's arguments compelled me, but because I was not compelled by the mother's commitment to the family. You feel in your gut that it's not going to be the best thing for Lynette, but you care so much about her safety, and she just is consistently
endangering
herself. In harm's way, yeah. And, like, it took my breath away. I feel like Willie Vlorton, I haven't read anything since Motel Life, which I remember loving, but I read it a decade ago. He writes so sparsely. There are no metaphors in this book. There are no similes. Everything is described exactly as it is, but he has such an incredible command of his pen. And, like, the characters are so believable. The
Agreed.
Dialogue is sublime. I want to watch Andrea Arnold's directorial version of it. Like, knock me out. Anyway, I cannot recommend it enough. And I'm glad that you've read it too.
I have read it.
God.
Yeah, I felt like maybe I did talk about it briefly on the pod because I loved it. And, yeah, I feel like it's one that I don't feel like I see loads of people talking about. But was a banger.
Definitely not, because I also feel like, for me, it could have been a prize winner. I could have seen that on the book along list. It's written with such incredible skill. And I don't know why it was overlooked.
I agree.
Maybe because people don't care that much about working class American women. I don't know.
True.
I don't know, but I loved it.
I loved it too. So... Now that Merlin is in the room, seems to be very chill behind the printer. Well, no, now he's on the move. But shall we get to the point?
Let's get to the meat.
So, the meat of today's episode is we had to remove this post by Hannah Bervoets, translated from Dutch by Emma Rault. Alice, you have a story about this book, and I would like to talk not just about the content of the book, but your experience of this book.
There's some bullshit happening behind you.
Merlin, what are you trying to play with? No, 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 baby.
Right, so.
You are a big star on TikTok. That is
the origin. I am a small origin. Fish in a very big TikTok pond.
But Alice is the most famous person on BookTok.
So basically, I read this book. It's a novella. And I'm going to go into more detail than I normally would do because it's all relevant.
Yeah.
So it's a novella and the cover of the proof is black with text overlaid. Lots and lots of text. The same line over and over again. What's the worst thing you ever saw? What's the worst thing you ever saw? Something like that. What's the worst thing you've ever seen? I did, as I always do, I document every book that I... Not every book, actually. I document most books that I read on TikTok. I don't always get to every single one. There's no rhyme or reason behind it, though. But anyway, I... did a little 30-second review of this book, described it as being about content moderators, accurate, who work for a social media platform. Their job is to view content that's been flagged either by users or by bots for breaking rules. Their job is to decide whether or not it does break the terms of service. So they're viewing everything from, like, mild pornography to judge whether or not it's acceptable to say up to really extreme violence. But the book itself is actually about the ways in which following these rules, viewing this content day in, day out, how it affects these people's worldview, how they interact with the world, how they interact with the subject matter that they're viewing. It's specifically about one woman and her relationship with her girlfriend who also works for this company. My TikTok went viral. It hit, I think, as we speak, it's on about over three quarters of a million views, which is fucking massive for a book talk. Also fucking massive for me. I generally get under 5,000 views. So, like, it was a huge deal. But something really annoying and weird happened with it. Because the proof cover was... this is my theory. The proof cover's black. And the subject matter... of content moderation, I think made lots of people thought of the movie Censor.
Okay, yeah.
Right? lots of people expected it to be a horror novel.
Okay.
And so it's really strange. I reposted my original TikTok when the book came out just to be like, hooray, it's out now, like, you can buy it. And so many people are saying that they're disappointed by it because it wasn't violent enough, it wasn't gory enough, it wasn't disturbing enough. Even though I never promised any of those things. And then I then found this other TikTok by a user who they had to mute the post. Like, you can turn off comments. They've had to turn off their comments because they were just getting... They had to mute
this post.
Yeah, they had to mute this post. They were getting bombarded, I guess, with hate. Because they uploaded a video of themselves, like, shaking and crying and saying, like, I couldn't get past the first two pages. It was so disturbing. This book needs a content warning. I'm not sure it should, you know, like, I'm not going to put words in their mouth. I can't remember exactly what they said, but they basically said, like, it's way too much and they regretted reading it and they didn't understand why they weren't warned that it would be disturbing. So this is, like, two very polarizing viewpoints with this book. Like, some people feel like it is way too far, unnecessarily graphic, whereas the majority of people are just like, what the fuck is this book about feelings? Like, why does this book with an Ian McEwan cover on the front not deliver me fucking Chuck Palahniuk-style violence? And it's really fascinating.
That is so wild. That is so wild. And I guess it kind of speaks to the impossibility or difficulty of marketing these books that are kind of both and neither and subtle and literary but also dealing with dark stuff and
dealing with something that obviously has really captured kind of contemporary readers' imaginations, because like that's why the post went viral. It wasn't because I did an amazing fucking post, it's because of the subject matter of the book. Lots of people had something to say about that.
Do you think it's so interesting that like that response very much mirrors what the, you know, part of the book is about people who do not experience this stuff being incredibly bloodthirsty to hear, you know, what is the worst thing you ever saw? Like, and that is what people who are disappointed by the book are looking for. They are looking for that, like, bloodthirsty high of, like, some disgusting shit.
Did you actually see my TikTok where I said exactly that?
No.
I did a follow, that's so funny. I did a follow-up TikTok and I basically said that exact thing. I was like, it is intentional. The first line of this book is literally, if I may.
You may.
The first line is, so what kinds of things did you see? And then within that first paragraph, that paragraph ends with, but what's the worst thing you ever saw? Like, it's intentional. Yeah. She's not pulling punches. She's refusing to give you what you're looking for if you're looking for that violence. Like, it mirrors the act of the job itself.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't feel like the book promises.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at that cover, I would not expect it to be like gory and dark. I mean, you know, maybe the cover of The Proof led people to believe it was going to be something that it wasn't, but even that, I don't know.
I mean, the cover of The Proof, so the finished cover in the UK is like a cityscape, a kind of purple-blue cityscape with a pink sunset behind it, which to me says very, like, contemporary literary...
Yeah, smart gal.
Smart gal book, yeah. Also an Ian McEwan cover on the... Ian McEwan quote on the cover also tells me it's going to be literary. It's not genre.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but then, like, I guess the weird thing about TikTok is that readers on TikTok... are not industry. They're not even industry. They're not even on the peripheries of industry the way that readers on Twitter or even Instagram can be. Like, they don't understand what a proof is. They don't know what a proof cover is. They don't. All they see is the finished book and why can't I buy it right now?
Because that was really your first experience with that, wasn't it? This post going viral was like the time that you really had to reckon with the fact that like book talk is not the book industry, because there were so many people demanding to know why you had the book and they couldn't have the book.
Yeah, people thought I was scamming them, or they thought I was like an industry plant, or that it was a secretly a paid ad. And people still think that because I got such a massive response, I kept making videos about this book, so I just keep having to address shit. Like, I think I've made maybe 5 TikToks about it so far, way more than anything else that I've talked about. And it kind of frustrates me because the thing that I care most about doing, really, with books on the internet is helping them find their readers. Mm. I'm not interested in trying to trick people into reading something they don't want to read. I want them to trust my recommendations and come back for more. And it is like this kind of strange impotence of like, but I never promised you any of these things. The crying person maybe made you feel like it was going to make you throw up and cry and make you regret reading it, but I never promised you that. And nor did Hannah Berwitz, nor did Picador. No one here has been like, this is going to fuck you up. None of the quotes talk about it being particularly disturbing, because I don't think it is a disturbing book.
And also, you know, people should have the right to talk about things in a way that feels appropriate to them. Like, this author has a right to write a book about content moderation that is not a horror novel. You know, like, I don't feel like it inherently promises something just by virtue of being about a content moderator.
I feel like people couldn't quite get past the idea that, like, subject matter isn't plot.
Yeah.
Like, I had so many comments were like, well, isn't this just censor? Isn't this just Come Join Our Disease by Sam Byers? Isn't this just... And they named a few other things as well, like a TV show I'd never heard of, a Black Mirror episode. And I was like, no.
It's a different thing, because it's a different thing.
Yeah, like, and... It kind of frustrates me anyway when people do that with, like, Squid Game. Or isn't it just Hunger Games? Or isn't Hunger Games just Battle Royale? Like, yeah, everything is following on from something else. Like, literature is a pantheon of other...
influences.
Yeah, like, that's how it should work. And it doesn't automatically mean it's derivative just because someone has written about that subject matter before. So that kind of rubbed me up the wrong way anyway. But obviously this is a very... it's very quiet, but it's very, like... it's exactly my taste. Yeah, it's very creepy.
Yeah.
Very dark.
It's very disconcerting.
And also, like, a lot of people... okay, I have a question for you. No spoilers for our listeners, because I cannot recommend this book enough. If you trust our taste and you love the pod...
you will love this book.
You'll love it.
100%.
It will deliver what you're looking for, because you are not a teenage boy looking for super violent horror.
Someone getting their innards sucked out of their butthole through a pool filter or whatever. Yeah.
Which is not to say, like, I actually think that story by Chuck Palahniuk is very effective. It's not to say there isn't space for that kind of fiction too.
But it's not that.
Yeah, just don't go in expecting that. But quite a few people also commented on finding the ending confusing. I do think it ends quite abruptly, but I don't know how else... I mean, it's a novella.
Yeah.
I feel like it ends where it should end. I don't need to know what happens next. I can kind of guess what happens next, right? Like, but lots of people said they found it quite confusing. Did you find it confusing?
I felt like I understood what the plot was. I felt like I understood the structure of it, which is that there is going to be a lawsuit brought by a former employee of this tech company against the company for the experiences that they had as a result of being a content moderator. And that the narrator of the book is giving her account of what happened to the lawyer representing the complainant. And I feel like I understand what the situation is by the end of the book. That is my understanding.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's that confusing.
No, me neither. And, like, novellas can be more opaque, I think, because of the brevity. And there's something that short stories can...
well, it's literally the midpoint between, like, a short story and a novel.
Yeah.
Like, it's... yeah. It is neither opaque nor transparent, but it is translucent, if you will.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think... I always enjoy it when a book inspires discussion. I didn't expect... no, actually, I did. I knew by the kind of the gallows... nature of the comment section of that TikTok, I was like, a lot of you people are going to be fucking disappointed because you're not hearing
what the actual vibe is.
Yeah, yeah, like, you're not picking up on the vibe.
And you're projecting.
But also, it didn't occur to me to specify, because I didn't pick this book up hoping to be disturbed. I don't want to be disturbed. I want to read stuff that's brilliant. Sometimes that brilliance is disturbing, but that's not my end goal.
Yeah.
So I didn't pick it up hoping it was going to ruin my life. I wasn't surprised by what I found in there. I was surprised. I was delighted by it. Lots of stuff about it was unexpected in a really brilliant way. But yeah, it didn't occur to me to say it's not that disturbing, because it's the fucking internet. People want content notes about all sorts of things that I personally don't find disturbing. Yeah. That's the nature of content notes, I guess. But it didn't occur to me. I would never have downplayed the content of this book, because actually it does touch upon...
yeah, 100%.
Everything you can think of.
That's what I was going to say, is that I think it is disturbing. For a literary fiction book, it very much, like, discusses stuff that you do not really encounter in most other literary fiction, let alone, like, such variety of disturbing different things.
Yeah. I think it's just because the language used is very sparse.
Mm.
And... we're looking at these things through a kind of filter of removal, because we're talking to, or we're hearing from, an account of someone who was watching a video of an action that had already happened.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got several layers of, like, past tense involved that kind of distance you from whatever's happening on screen. That's also very effective, because that is the nature of watching things through, on a screen, through, like, watching video, yeah, reading account of something, instead of being a first-person witness. Like, you do experience a sense of detached removal, and that is something that is very relevant to the themes of this book. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess there were two moments, both of which were very similar, in fact, that echo each other, that I found really difficult to read, but only because they were gory in a very simple way.
Mm.
Like them,
mm,
you know? But I don't feel like the concepts didn't haunt me.
Yeah, and I thought it was, you know, thinking about the kind of layers of removal of watching a video of something that's already happened, I think it's interesting in the book the way that then really changes when there is a belief that you could do something to stop what is happening, and how that someone as a content moderator, how that could, like, be so profoundly disturbing to them. And that is, you know, part of the very interesting plot, I think.
Yeah. And I feel like, because for such a brief book, the plot is actually very satisfying.
Mm.
Like, her final act to try and make amends with her girlfriend, to try and not necessarily even fix things, but just to try and, yeah, like, balance things out, mirrors her girlfriend's, the best gift she ever gave her. Mm. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah.
So I feel like that's maybe where some of the TikTok readers, I think they missed that parallel. And if you're reading the book very slowly, I can see how you could forget the hamster, yeah, moment, a tender moment that's not disturbing. I can see how you could maybe forget that in the kind of wake of how the book ends. But I read it in one go, I think. Maybe two goes. Like, it's such a quick read.
It's such a quick read because it is short, but also because you just want to read.
Yeah, it's so compelling.
Yeah.
What books did it remind you of?
I don't know. I really don't know what. It's hard to say, because I feel like there are books that it reminds me of, but I cannot tell you off the top of my head what they are. How about you?
It gave me real Night Shift vibes.
Yeah, yeah.
Carol,
yeah,
Abner.
Yeah.
I think because so much of it happens, so much of the action happens after work.
Yeah.
In bars, and it's about the relationship of these colleagues.
Who do quite a weird job that,
yeah, you
know, obviously the problem with the book, the job in Night Shift was that it's quite boring, whereas this is the opposite, in that it's very, like, unboring in quite a distressing way.
But still very corporate, yeah, and very, like, yeah.
And creates its own kind of work environment.
And the ways in which that it means they are kind of isolated as a set of colleagues. Like, they find solace in each other's company.
Yeah, because obviously, because it's a, you know, kind of Google, Facebook-esque massive tech company, they are bound by various, like, rules and laws and, you know, increasingly kind of punitive stuff around their office life. So they really do end up completely isolated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that's a reasonable one. What else have we got?
That one was my for vibes. Oh, did you ever read the Mary South short story collection?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah,
isn't there a story in that?
Yeah.
And also just the stuff about tech in general. Yeah. But there is a story about a content moderator who comes across her rapist online.
Mm.
And so, like, for subject matter, that's a good comparison.
Yes, we do not have the name of the short story collection to hand, but it is by
Mary South. You Will Never Be Forgotten.
You Will Never Be Forgotten by Mary South. Yes, you're right. We do have the name of the short story collection to hand. And I love that. That's a real fav short story collection, yeah, of recent times.
Absolute banger. And then,
were they both published by Picador?
Yes, they were. Oh, I was, God, about to do, whenever I'm pleased with myself, I was about to snap my bra strap, but do I was it, like, that.
Yeah.
Like braces. Although it won't come across as well on the recording. Anyway, yes, they were both Picador. And then the other one, lots of people on TikTok compared it to Sam Byers' Come Join Our Disease.
Tell me about this.
So I haven't read it yet. Basically, I bought it specifically because lots of people were saying it's just the same thing, it's the same concept. I cannot fathom what the fuck they think
that book
this,
is about.
Well, yeah. This book is about, because that one is about, and it absolutely sits in the same ballpark, but once I'd established that it is not about content moderation, I was like, well, I'll read this later. So it is about a young woman who is homeless, if I remember correctly, and she gets offered a place to stay in like a luxury flat, but in return she has to, it's like a huge corporation's philanthropic program that they house homeless people, but in return she has to document her entire experience, her entire life, on their social media platform.
Hmm.
And from what I understand, she kind of does this for a bit and then kind of rebels against it. So yeah, it sounds really interesting and about kind of social media and corporations and like that kind of thing, but very different thematically.
That's very confusing that someone would, you know, look at that book and this book and dismissively decide they're the same, because they don't really sound the same.
Yeah, but I think people just like to sound smart.
Well, exactly. When you were saying like, you know, people leaving comments like, isn't it just blah, 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 isn't it just blah, blah, blah. Like, I think people want to feel superior on the internet and want to be clever on the internet.
Whereas I would be gutted if someone looked at my debut novel out next year.
Defo bookseller, Alice Later.
Pre-order now. But I'd be gutted if the initial response to that was people saying, oh, isn't this just, and started naming every other book vaguely tangentially related to
set in a retail setting. Yeah,
retail, like, I'd be gutted.
Isn't this just convenience store woman?
Yeah, like, well, thank you for the compliment, but no, like, I think it just, it's so kind of dismissive, and you know, it's so fucking incurious.
Did you
enjoy that? Then would you not be interested in this?
Yeah.
Would you not be interested in something that reminds you of that,
the thing that you like,
the same path? Like, just very kind of ignorant energy.
Agree. And I feel like that is quite TikTok.
No, but you know what, because I actually think, and forgive me for saying this, I actually think it's just very teenage arrogance.
Yeah.
I just remember very clearly, maybe teenage is unfair, but young, it's a young arrogance. Like, I remember very clearly when The Hunger Games came out, I was a bookseller then, and I had so many, like, usually men in their early 20s, late teens, being like, dismissing it as garbage, because isn't it just Battle Royale?
And to show,
like,
that they knew about Battle Royale, yeah, which is Japanese, like, and therefore cooler.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, but West Side Story is just Romeo and Juliet. Like,
yeah.
you can pick anything that has potentially been inspired by another thing.
Yeah.
But that inspiration isn't automatically, or those parallels aren't automatically secret, sneaky, or in any way, like, nefarious. Sometimes the inspo is there in black and white for everyone to see. It's okay.
Yeah. But in this case, it doesn't feel like it is just...
No, I don't think it's in any way inspired by these other...
That, it's not retreading Censor, the film Censor. It's not retreading anything in particular.
Which also, I mean, I also felt like the film Censor is a completely legit comparison in the most superficial way.
Mm.
But obviously Censor is a horror movie.
Yeah.
And this book isn't in any way a horror text, like... It's not genre.
Subject of this book is not inherently horror. It is its own thing. Maybe that can go down the route of horror. Maybe that can go down the route of thriller. Like, whatever, you know, just be whatever it is.
I think it's because I wonder if when people hear, like, content moderation and imagine, like, extreme content, they're immediately thinking about, like, the steakandcheese.com, like, you know, those websites from the 90s that uploaded violent footage of accidents and whatnot. Whereas actually so much of this is also, in fact, that's one of the kind of plot points of the book, is that they start off covering everything, which also includes, as we've previously mentioned, nudity and pornography, but also things like fascist rants, also things like conspiracy theories. And a lot of that stuff, obviously, that is going to be the vast majority of what they're actually going to be looking at. But one of the plot points is that they then... some of it gets outsourced, so this team ends up focusing specifically on the more violent stuff, which has more potential for a horror plotline.
Yeah.
But this isn't a horror novel.
Nor was it ever promised to be.
Not by me. Not even the person who uploaded the TikTok saying that they found it really disturbing and were really upset by it, they also did not say it was a horror novel.
Yeah.
I think it's also that horror is having such a moment right now. You know, like, I don't know if you have been aware of this at all, but yeah, like, horror's having a real moment, and I think people are just really hungry for the next big thing, because I think the problem with horror is that a lot of the big names are writing very commercially.
And are very well-established from a long time ago, you know?
No, I was thinking, like, Grady Hendrix, Riley Sager.
Interesting. Yeah, I would say Sager, but whatever.
Sager, yeah. Like, I was thinking more about, like, those dudes that are, like, writing super commercial, quite lengthy, very high concept
interesting horror. Yeah.
I think there's a real thirst for, like, weirder, more, like Eric LaRocca. Things have gotten worse since we last spoke. I think people want shit like that.
I really
want
to read that.
Are you ready?
Okay, cool. Maybe we can take it on holiday with us.
Yeah, I will. I will say, I took it on holiday with me to Cornwall. So this book is called Things Have Gotten Worse Since We Last Spoke by Eric LaRocca. It's an American horror novella about two women who meet on the internet in the, like, message board 90s era. They really hit it off and fall into a kind of dom sub relationship that goes really, I will say they did say that they wrote it over a long weekend, and I feel like you can kind of tell. And I mean that in the most respectful way, because the book, it does a lot, and I found it really inspiring, and I really loved loads about it, but it doesn't feel as polished as I think, like, but it also was published by an indie press, you know, like it kind of delivers what I would expect from, like, a kind of underground horror novella that has found real audience online, I think, because of that amazing cover.
Yeah, the cover is so good.
Great title, great cover, really promising author to watch. But yeah, I think people are hungry for more stuff like that.
So they were maybe projecting that desire onto this book.
That's what I think.
Yeah, that's possible. I think that's possible. Well, we love the book for what it is, and we think you will too.
So a book about feelings.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
So if you listen to this pod, which you must do because you're listening to this pod, and you like the kind of books that we like, and you do have, like, some tolerance for disturbing stuff, you know, for all it's not a horror, it does contain disturbing stuff, a lot of it.
Touches upon, to very quickly, specifically, there's quite a lot of animal cruelty and there's quite a lot of self-harm and suicide stuff in there. So
be warned.
That's what you need to be most aware of.
But if you can tolerate that, then you will enjoy this book, in my humble opinion.
Agreed.
Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you again next time, whenever that may be. Goodbye.
Bye.